Take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This morning we were in 1 Timothy, and tonight we'll be in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9. My text verse is verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Paul in this chapter, this is God using Paul to pen the last epistle that he will pen. Because earlier in the chapter, he says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, and I'm ready to be offered. He said, I'm getting ready to die. So you could say this is his last words, last thoughts, although God's penning his word through him. When you look at the end of the chapter, watch this. It says here in verse number 19, it says, salute or greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Then he mentions Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. He's basically saying, he said, Trophimus is sick. He said, pray for him. Look at verse number 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And then he's going to mention more people. Eubulus greeteth thee. And Pudens and Lydon. What a name, Pudens. You hope that's a woman, but you don't know. And Pudens and Lydon. If you were a guy and had that name, you'd be tough. And Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. You say, why'd you read that? This chapter, most of the end of the epistles of Paul have a thank you to those who helped and who influenced him. If you had time to prepare for the end of your life and to do what you want before the hour of your departure, you would want people to be around you. If you were in the hospital, when you come to the end of your life, you're not going to say, I'd like a picture of my car and a picture of my rifle and a picture of... You wouldn't want things. You'd want people. You'd want people. And if you read that book, The Dying Testimonies of Saved and Lost, how many people, Christians in the 1800s, before they drugged people to death, how many people would say, Grandma's getting ready to pass, and the family would do what? Gather around the bed. Grandpa's getting ready to go be with the Lord. What? It's time for the family to do what? And they would all gather around the bed. They wanted people there. I've got a testimony of in our family lineage in the 1800s. There was a 14-year-old girl. Don't ask me what relation she is, but she's in my family. It's in the Holroyd thing. When our Holroyds came over here from Germany, she was 14 years old, and the Lord showed her. She was going around telling everybody, well, in 2 weeks, I'm going to go be with the Lord. 2 weeks, I'm going to go be with the Lord. 1 week. 1 week. Next week, the Lord's calling me home. Everybody thought she was crazy. She was just calm about it. Well, I'm going to go be with Jesus. Day before, Mom, tomorrow, the Lord's calling me home. They came. Our family was, I wasn't there. I was born in 1965, okay. But some family members had gathered and they were concerned. Sure enough, that day came. She went to be home with the Lord. Didn't die of a disease. Didn't die. The Lord showed her. That was in the record books. I'll never forget seeing that. What was the issue? When you come to the end of your life, you're not going to ask to be surrounded by all the stuff that's in your garage. You're not going to say, bring me the three boxes on the left and put those around my bed. You're not going to want things at the end of your life. You're going to want people. Paul shows that. Thanks so-and-so. So-and-so was important. I love this. Filling your life with people and not things is so important. Your greatest regrets will happen when you invest in things and not people. Things and not people. When it comes to the issue of the influence of your life, you can tell a lot about yourself by who your friends are and who your enemies are. In 2 Timothy 4, now let's look at our text verse there. He says here in verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It appears that three men quit on Paul. I'm sure there were more than that, but God chose to record in his word three men. Demas hath forsaken me, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. It looks like Titus. Titus was a pastor, right? The book of Titus. It was one of Paul's preacher boys. It looks like Demas left Paul and went to Thessalonica, having loved this present world. Crescens left Paul, and Titus quit as a pastor and went to Dalmatia. It doesn't say that, but where are you pulling that from? It's all in one sentence. You see there? It's not Titus departing to Dalmatia is not a separate. That's how come I'm taking that all there like that. We'll find out. I hope not, but it appears that Paul is mentioning his heartbreak that three men quit on him. Demas here in this verse, if you take 2 years before this in Colossians 4:14, it says Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So 2 years before this, Demas was serving with Paul and traveling with Paul and helping Paul. And 2 years later, he's now out of church, 24 months later. Demas didn't get out of church because there wasn't one available or near him. Demas got out of church because Demas loved the world. He loved the world, having loved this present world. While Demas was in church, listen, while he was in church and serving the Lord, he was loving the world. That means you can be in church with a Bible on your lap and your heart not be in the right place. It's the direction of your life that is going to one day manifest itself. It's not what you're presently doing now. I love the statement, you will become what you're becoming. I know that's not super deep, but if more people thought about it, if I keep doing this, where is this going to lead? Because this has the decisions you make determine the path that you take. Here, Demas, while he was traveling with Paul, being with probably the greatest Christian in history, he was loving the world. While hearing the Apostle Paul preach the Word of God, he was loving the world. And here it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and it says he departed into Thessalonica. Now wait a second. In 54 AD, Paul started the church in Thessalonica. This is several years later. Demas didn't leave Paul to go to a church of like faith in Thessalonica. He didn't depart to Thessalonica and then fall in love with the world. He went to Thessalonica with plans to never go to church again, but it wasn't because there wasn't a good church where he was going. Demas wasn't in church because his heart left church a long time ago. While he was in the right place, this is a heart-stirring thought for me. While his heart was in the right place, his heart was in the wrong place. While he was doing outwardly the right thing, his heart desired the wrong thing. Tonight, I don't know the true condition of your heart. If you want to be just transparent, you don't know the condition of mine either. I've got a message in my office by a pastor that was involved in immorality. His last message he preached. It's spooky. Bible in it. All that. It was the last message he preached. I listen to it once a year. It spooks me. You understand? But it just lets me know, just because I quote the verse doesn't mean I'm living the verse. Right? And just because I'm singing doesn't mean I'm living the song. You can be in the right place and your heart not be in the right place. And you can be doing the right things and your heart away. Demas is proof. And of course, if you've been in church any length of time, you've got examples of people that you've seen follow this. You will eventually meet up with what you truly love. Demas did. Traveling with Paul, serving, soul winning, helping with the children's church, I'm sure. I don't know, but those that used to travel with Joe Boyd, you know, Joe Boyd would preach in the main auditorium and then the preacher boys would handle junior church, you know, when they would do that. So I'm just going to assume Demas was helping with Paul's revivals in junior church. I don't know. But here's Demas helping with the preaching, with Paul's revivals and Paul's campaigns, Paul's starting churches. I'm sure Demas was going soul winning. When he was ready, he left church and was never in church again. What you love will eventually find you, and you will eventually find what you love. You will eventually devote yourself and give yourself over to what you love. That's why you better be careful what you let your heart love. Your starting point as a Christian is supposed to be your love for God. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. But when you ask the typical American Christian that, oh yeah, I love God. With all your heart, that's all your desires. You love God with all your mind, of course I do. Good, I know I need to work at it. You can live within the confines of rules and regulations and commandments and a church structure under the scrutiny of a pastor or a group of people in a church like ours or a Sunday school class, and you can maintain a certain outward appearance, but if you love the world, you say, what's the world? We're talking about worldly fashions or clothing. I wish I looked like that. Well, you don't, okay? I'm glad our president's wife is much more elegant than those in the past. I'm glad she's an elegant lady, and I don't criticize her, but that's for the rich, you understand? And I think, man, I'm glad our president's wife is a nice, elegant, classy lady. I think she's gracious, and I'm glad she's our president's wife.
This week, Melania Trump wore a $10,000 dress to...
That ain't for me. I don't even pray about that. Oh, God, help me get a $10,000 dress for my wife this year so she can dress just like Melania Trump. I don't do that. That's like kooky world, you understand? I'm glad she does that.
So-and-so's driving this type of car.
That's for the rich. Do you understand? I don't let myself long after that. And I'm glad for them, and they can do that, but I don't long for that. What a stupid bunch of advertisements.
This week, Kim Kardashian
did. Who cares? They're nasty people, but they're rich, and they're let it go. The fashions of this world, how they dress, what's in style this week, their hairstyles, the worldly music, pop, country, rock, jazz, CCM, all that garbage. It's worldly. The worldly talk. You know, I'm from the, you know, the age when rap was starting. You know, yo, homie there, what's back there in the home slice, you know, and all that stuff. Okay, I'll joke around about that, but that's worldly talk, right? When I was in the Marine Corps, they used to say, word, word. I got so sick of that. I got to where every time I'd hear, word, you know, that's just because I was so stinking tired of it. It's worldly lingo. That's the way the world talks. You understand? That's the way the world talks. The worldly language, the worldly phraseology, the worldly media. Eventually, listen closely, eventually you're going to sneak away and have a secret hookup with that which you love. Look there at 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Go to Romans chapter 12. Go back to Romans chapter 12. I'm not a total John Wesley fan because I think he taught some things that was garbage, sinless perfection and things like that. But John Wesley, his diary's profitable to read as a man who is trying to live for God. I mean, to have a wife like John Wesley had, they would throw human feces and rotten food at the preachers in England when he would stand on a street corner. His wife was one of them. Wouldn't that be a blessing to come home to?
Get down there, honey, you stinking.
I can't. John Wesley, he said sometimes when he was praying, his wife would come in and kick him. She hated the fact that he was a preacher. Okay, I'm thankful for my wife. Amen. My wife, she's tripped over me, but she's never kicked me. You say, why would you say that? John Wesley had a statement stuck with me. He said, I can tell what type of a Christian you are by how scared you are of the world. He said, the world should terrify you because the world has pulled so many Christians away. He said, tell me what you think of the world and I'll gauge your Christianity from it. Okay, that's food for thought. Look at Romans chapter 12. Ready? Watch this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conforming to this world. That means to take a piece of clay and take any object. Take any object that you want, a doll, and push it into the clay and then pull the object out and you'll have a likeness of it. God says don't be conformed or pressed into the image of the world and what the world says is fashionable. The music that they listen to, the clothes that they wear. They have a, look, this week, you know, what's in right now? Well, how wide is your tie? Well, who said? Well, your tie's too wide. It's out of fashion. It needs to be skinnier. Who said? Some queer in France? You know what I mean? Have you watched those? Those guys are spooky. I saw just one little thing that, well, I think they ought to just, he's designing what I'm putting around my neck? Help us. Well, now the fashion is, now the ties are a little wider. Have you seen how they dressed in the 60s? Black shoes, white socks. That was a blessing in church, wasn't it? That's out of style. I understand that. And I don't think you have to dress like they did back in the 50s. Remember the batwing collars? Collars that came all the way down to here? You say, how do you know about that? Well, my grandpa passed. He was in the Navy, and my grandmother came to me, and I was in Bible college, and I hadn't started dating my wife yet, and my grandmother said, your grandpa wanted to give you his whole wardrobe. Well, one, I only had one suit, okay? I only had one suit. So here I am, Bible college. Oh, praise the Lord. all of my pants. Here I am. I'm the only Bible college student out of 2,000 students at Hiles Anderson College. I got big bell bottoms. And I'm not kidding you. My dress shirts, those things, Kate, if you doubt me, ask my wife. I look, and my grandpa's clothing chest was from it was before I was born, 1963. So I'm wearing ties that are, you remember the little skinny ties? Bat wing. I wasn't juking, but I almost was. You know what I mean? And finally, Pastor Owens had to pull me aside and go, can I take you to a thrift store? And you know what he did? He took me to a thrift store and he said, have you got $5? I said, yes, sir. He said, this is where I buy my suits. You can get a suit for $5. He said, all the doctors turn in their used clothing here. He said, this is the best place to get high-quality suits for very little money. He said, how much money you got on you? I said, I was a college student.
$25?
He said, I'll buy you a suit. Let's get you 6 suits. Yeah, praise the Lord. My wife was happy, too, because I wasn't styling and profiling anymore. All I'm trying to say is who says that's in style? Who said, and I could probably pay a little more attention to what's in style and what's out. I wear black suits. I like black suits. Every once in a while, I wear a gray top. My wife, she is so classy. I can't even pick clothes out for her. Because every time she goes, honey, what do you think of this? I always go, that is royal. That is, I couldn't pick clothes out for her if you put a gun to my head. To me, it's like, good. Blue goes with blue, and that could probably work. And red goes with red. And if you ask me, so I don't do all that. I'm not a style person, although I don't think you have to look like you came out of the 50s either. I like this old statement when it comes to fashion. Be not the first by whom the new is tried, nor the last to lay the old aside. In other words, do I think you got to walk around looking like an Amish person? No, I don't. But I don't think you have to be so up on style. Here, God says, be not conformed or pressed into the image of the world. What the world says is acceptable. To a Christian, God says, you shouldn't be concerned about with who's accepting you in the world. You should be working at transforming your thinking process or your mind through reading the Bible. I need my brain washed. I got too much junk in it. I like what one person said. It takes me 10 chapters to read my Bible till I finally get something out of it because I got so much filthy rock music and junk and pictures and garbage and wrong crowd in it. Every time I sit down to read my Bible, it takes me 10 chapters to get something. Till finally I can just get my head into the game enough to where God can speak to my heart. Not 3 verses, 4. Okay, good. That's done. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? By how you read your Bible. Not pressed into the image of the world. Let me show you another one. Well, watch this. If you finish the verse, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're playing with the world as a Christian, God's will is always confusing. You can't figure out what the perfect and good and acceptable will of God is. What does God want you to do with your life? Oh, no. You playing with the world? You listening to the wrong music? God's will is always confusing. It's always, I don't care. You can't tell what God wants for you if you're not in the Bible helping your thinking process. Let's put it this way. Let's read the verse. If I apply the verse backwards, your thinking's messed up. And until you get your thinking straightened out with the Bible, you will continue to have a messed up thought process. You can't tell the will of God when you're playing in the world. Let's go to another verse. Watch this. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John 5:19. We were looking at 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. 1 John 5:19, towards the end of the book there. I just wanted you to see this. And we know that we are of God. And look at this phrase. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. God's not being extreme. The whole world lies in wickedness. Remember the phrase I told you? John Wesley said, tell me what you think about the world, and I'll tell you what type of a Christian you are. It's clothing, it's lingo, it's media, it's lifestyle. All of that ought to scare you. Now, I'm willing to help Christians that just get saved, and if they think going to Buffalo Wings is, you know, that's their church, their nightclub that they've gone to on the weekend, they've got to make a transition. They need somebody to help that, but I don't go to Buffalo Wings. I don't go to any nightclub, and I understand they need to transition that, but no, I don't. That's the world. That is, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's a wicked place. God's not being extreme here. I like thinking about this verse. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How come the whole world lies in wickedness? Here, I think this explains it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, small g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who's the God of this world? Satan, small g. When Adam sinned, God gave him dominion of all creation. And when Adam sinned, he gave up that dominion and Satan took it because Adam sinned. Satan has been the God, small g, of this world since the fall. When does that stop? When Jesus comes again and the title deed of the earth is taken and the seals are opened and Jesus says, now I own it. And for 1,000 years, he's going to rule and reign out of Jerusalem. Until that happens, who is... God's in control and knows what's going on, but who's in control of who the kingdoms of the world go to? Satan, Luke chapter 4, right? What Satan tell Jesus? If you'll bow down, I can give you any of these kingdoms, because Satan says, they are mine to whom I will give it. You can't make it in this world without selling your soul to the devil. You don't make it in the music industry without selling your soul to the devil. You might record a CD, but you ain't hitting the big time unless you get... You say, why? Because Satan says, that's my world. And if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. I'll give you a portion. You don't make it in Hollywood without selling your soul to the devil.
I know some Christian actors.
Yeah, and they don't go to church on Sunday either. And their Christianity's a joke. Ask them if they're a soul winner. Ask them what Bible they use. Ask them how much they love the Lord. If you'll like their Twitter feed and their Instagram and their Facebook page, I'm sure they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Let me say it again. I don't think we understand. Satan is the small g god of this world. You don't make it. I'm talking like big time. You understand? I'm talking making my mark in this world. You don't make your mark in this world unless you sell your soul to the devil. Why? Because he is the small g god of this world. That's why the whole world lies in wickedness. That's why it's not my goal to be a sports star. It's not my goal to be a music star. It's not my goal to be a Hollywood movie actor ever, because I know what it takes to be number one. I want to be number one with God. I don't want to be number one with the world. But people don't think that. I'm going to make $1 million by the time I'm 30. You can do so, and you'll lose your family and your kids and everything else. You don't do that without wanting it at all costs. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? But we don't think of that. I've never seen so much foolish. My web page is set up so that when I open the internet, it always comes up. I know I can adjust it, but it comes up MSN. You say, how come you watch MSN? Because I've never seen such worthless information, such stupid advertisements. The top restaurant in each state that serves the best pizza. Who cares? Stars we've lost in 2017. Remember before the internet? All I remember was I was a paper boy and Elvis Presley died. That day I delivered more papers and ran out and people were calling my house as the... Y'all know what a paper boy is. Paper boy is somebody that rides a bike. It's like, you know what a telephone booth is? You know what a tape deck is? Pastor talks funny. All I know is this. I don't want to be in the world. I don't want... Somebody said, hey, are your CDs selling at Zondervan Christian Bookstore? No. Why not? Orchestrated and, oh, beautiful music. I don't care about that. My CDs have gone all over the world with missionaries. I've given away more than I've ever sold.
Well, yeah, but if you put...
Here's another question.
Are you on iTunes?
No. If you want my CDs, you get them off my website. They're free.
But you could make...
I don't want to. It's a ministry. Do you understand?
But your music could...
I have no desire for that. None. I want to be used by God's people. I want to be important to God's people and the cause of Christ and bring glory to God. I don't care what the world thinks. It was never my goal. My goal of making the children's CDs was for my kids first. That's why they're called Songs I Want My Kids to Know. Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. I did it for my kids first. All I thought about, come we record the messages here at church. I do record them for you. Do you know why the first reason I started recording my preaching? If something happened to me and the Lord called me home, I wanted my kids to be able to, if Jesus tarried, to be able to say, here's my dad preaching. This is what my dad stood for. I wanted, if God let them have their own kids, I wanted them to be able to say, this is your grandpa preaching. That's why I record the messages. Now, praise God, I want you all to benefit from it. But I was thinking of, I want my kids blessed. Do you understand? I'm not trying to,
well, how many downloads this week did we get on our website?
I don't care. I couldn't say it more emphatically. I care about Gospelite Baptist Church and what our people get from it. And is God using the messages to feed you and help you? But how big are we? I don't think that way. I'm not wired that way. I don't want to be. Here, he's the small g, God of this world. Let's look at one more verse. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Actually, we'll look at two more verses and then I'll hush. Colossians chapter 3, the Lord hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. I'm not trying to impress anybody with my preaching. I'm not trying to. I could care less. I want to know, are people that God has put us together to serve together and serve the Lord together? I want to know that our church is prospering. But as far as who's listening and who, bleh. Have I made myself clear? Look at Colossians chapter 3 here. I'll read here in just a second. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Present world. Everything about this present world now is temporary. If you live for this world, you're going to leave the service of an eternal God for a present world. You're going to leave participation in an everlasting church while it stands on the truth for a present world. You're going to leave the fellowship of people that have eternal, everlasting life to participate in something in that is present, but that has no future. That's this present world. This world has no future for those that are devoted to it. What can you do? God says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Protect your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Look at Colossians 3. Look at verse 1. If ye then, if you be risen with Christ, if you're saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set. If I set a glass on a stand, I purposely set it. And God says, take control, set your affections or your desires. Well, I just love that music. You're not setting anything. You're floating downstream. Set your affections. Control it. Set your desires. Set what you want. Be careful what you let yourself like. And set yourself. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Then quit living like an animal. Set on purpose. Control your emotions. Quit living by your feelings. There ought to be things. Look, I like rock music, but I don't listen to it. I like country music. I was raised on it. I played bluegrass till I got saved. I square danced and did all that. I don't not play rock music or jazz or country because I can't. I got saved out of that. It's designed for your flesh to like. When those tones hit and vibrations hit your flesh, your body responds immediately. Do you like that? Yeah, I do, but this is wrong. I'm not listening to this in my car, in my house, or nothing else. I don't listen to that. Set. You better watch your heart. Keep your heart. I'll say it again. You can sit in church and your heart be in the wrong place if you don't control your heart. Set. Take control of it and on purpose set your emotions on things above, not on things on the earth. Better be careful what you let yourself like. I'll say it again because it really needs to register. I like rock music. My flesh does. My spirit, it grieves my spirit. But my flesh, it does like it. I won't listen to it because I won't allow myself to listen to it. Or I could be a preacher that's a statistic like other preachers that have been a statistic. Preaching to their people while they're living immorally. Preaching to their people. I've heard the stories. They send chills down my spine because I'm no exception. Do you understand? In other words, I'm not an exception to the rule. I'm just as susceptible to temptation. If I don't watch it, I'll fall just like everybody else. And Christian, if you don't watch it, you're going to leave having loved this present world. They said 75% of the teenagers that are raised in church, once they go to college, once they get to be 18, are not coming back to church. And everybody's starting to see the tenure in churches across America. Unless it's a boogie-woogie church, they're not going. That just isn't in this area. That's nationwide. How come? Because while they were in church, their heart was going after the world. They were in the right place, but their heart was going totally the wrong. They were sneaking around with music they shouldn't have been listening to, talking with friends, all the garbage of, well, one day I'm going to get out of here. You're right, you will. And you're going to get to do everything you've always wanted to do. And the devil can make you feel real good. And he has ways of cutting you, and you'll bleed to death. And it'll be too late. Here, set your affections on things above. I wish those words set could mean something to you. Not on things on the earth. Look, just finish these last three verses here. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. The word mortify is where we get the word mortuary. Kill, murder, slay, kill your members, your flesh. It does not mean, this is not talking to pastors, mortify your members by picking your nose in the pulpit. That was stupid. I'm not supposed to mortify you that way. You're supposed to kill your flesh in your members, and then it tells you what to kill in your life. You ready? Watch this. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What are you talking about? Fornication, that's sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness. The word uncleanness always deals with immorality. Always. Any type of immorality. Inordinate affection. Affection that is out of control. Evil concupiscence. Look up the word concupiscence. It's in your King James Bible for a reason, and it should never be changed. It means longing for the forbidden. One day I'll get to. One day, no more rules, and I'll get to. I can't now, but I will. Evil concupiscence, longing for the forbidden. That you're not supposed to allow yourself to think that way. It's a very important word. Let's finish it here. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. I don't have now. What's covetousness? Wanting things you can't afford or deserve. Set your affections on things above. Let's wrap up tonight with 1 John 2, and then this is the last verse we'll go to. 1 John chapter 2. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, served with Paul, but never went to church again because of his love for the world. 1 John 2:15, ready? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the system, the cosmos, the system and the order of events, what's in fashion, clothing, talk, media, all of that. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means what he's getting ready to list. He says, if you love the world, you can't love God. Remember what I told you at the start of the message? Your focal point ought to be, I really think this, if a Christian would quit focusing on what they aren't supposed to do, there are some things you need to draw boundaries. But if you would focus on, oh, how I love Jesus. And when you feel your heart's pull, if you would get your desires and set them back on things in heaven, and things above and not on things on the earth. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. I've made up my mind. And when my heart feels pulled like everybody's is, I know this, when I'm loving the world and wishing and all that I don't have and all that I can't do, stupid statement. Well, what are we going to do? Go out to eat because that's all Baptists can do? No, that's not true. What a dumb way to live.
Well, we can't do anything else. What are we going to do? Go to a movie?
You got a real twisted form of Christianity. All you're focusing on is all the things that you can't do. God says, if you would just focus on loving Him,
turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of His glory and grace.
Christian, Demas was in church for at least 2 years, serving with the greatest Christian, hearing the most Spirit-filled preaching, I think, that probably Christianity's ever known. And in 24 months, he was out of church and never went to church again. Christian, what do you love? Show me what you think about. Show me what you long for. Where are your desires? Show me what you think about, and I'll show you what you love. I'll show you what you love. Let's finish this. 1 John, here it says, for all that is in the world, and the world is broken down into three categories here, and we don't have time for tonight, but I'll read it for you. For all that is in the world, the lust or desires of the flesh, that's worldly. The lust or the desire of the eyes, that's worldly. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust or the desires thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's more. Just tonight, God says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Christian, be careful. I don't know where your heart is tonight. I hope it's right. I'll encourage you as a pastor for it to be right. Your heart's tempted just like mine is, but you've got to set your affection on things above. Let's pray. Father, please help us tonight to take the admonitions and the warnings of your word. Lord, as we go into this holiday season, I wish for each person to have no regrets. Sweet time with family. Some will enjoy.